I'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Job. I would like to read from Job chapter 32. I encourage you to turn in your Bible to Job chapter 32. I'd like to read the first nine verses. Who are the four people that usually you think about when you think of the book of Job?
Job and his three friends.
All right, Job and his three friends. I think that, of course, is the thrust. Those are the four main people in the book of Job, but there was another man besides Job and his three friends. He was a younger man. His name was Elihu, and Elihu seems to be kind of a young man that was just sitting back and listening to Job and his three friends, especially as they got to arguing and going back and forth about what had caused Job's problems and troubles. And Job's three friends were saying that he had sinned in some way, and that's what had caused his trouble. And Job is declaring, "I'm righteous, and I haven't done anything wrong." And they're really both wrong. I want you to all understand that Job's three friends were wrong to conclude that the problems Job had were because of sin in his life. That was not true. And likewise, Job was wrong to conclude that he was clean and pure. And I want you to notice what the Word of God says here in Job chapter 32, beginning with verse 1. The Word of God says, "So these three men," that's Job's three friends, "these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes." Do you hear that? Job was righteous in his own eyes. Was there a problem with Job for him to be righteous in his own eyes? Yes. They just decided they would just quit arguing with Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Verse 2 says, "Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled because he justified himself rather than God." Everybody hear why Elihu is upset with Job? It's because he's justifying himself rather than declaring the righteousness of God. Verse 3, Scripture says, "Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job." So Elihu is rather angry with Job, and he's angry with his three friends as he's listened to all of their conversation. Verse 4 says, "Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken, because they were elder than he." Do you follow that? Job was the older man. Job's three friends were older men. This is a young man. You know, I thank God that there are some people that are raised to respect their elders. And as you read the Word of God, you'll find that that's something that's very, very important, is respect for older people. And we've lost that, I think, to a great degree in our society in America today. And I pray that God will help us as a church, God will help all of us, that we'll begin to return to the biblical standard of respecting our elders. There are so many ways that we are showing disrespect for the elderly people. And the Word of God says here that Elihu, though he disagreed with a lot that was going on, Elihu just kept everything to himself. He wouldn't speak up because these older men were doing the talking. Finally, he begins to speak up. In verse 5, the Word of God says, "And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled, and Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, 'I am young, and ye are very old, wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you my opinion. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom.'" What's Elihu saying? These older people, you older people, should have come up with some good answers, and you older people should have come up with a completely different kind of conversation than you've been having. He says in verse 8, "But there is a..." He says in verse 7, I want to reread that. "I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding." Now listen carefully to verse 9. He says, "Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment." I want you to think about that ninth verse where Elihu says, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. What kind of judgment do you think he's talking about here when he says that the aged men, sometimes they do not understand judgment? What kind of judgment is that? Okay, could have been that they didn't understand what it was that they were saying. That certainly was true. They didn't understand what they were saying about those three men. The three men didn't understand what they were judging, how they were judging Job. They didn't understand the judgment of God. There were a lot of things they didn't understand, but they were talking anyway. How many of you have ever done that? That you talked when you should have been quiet? You didn't really know what you were talking about. You really didn't have understanding, but you talked anyway. The Word of God says it's a wise man that is a few words. But Elihu just kept sitting back waiting for them to come up with wise answers, and they never did. And he finally says in verse 9 now, great men are not always wise. And that's the main thought that's on my heart tonight, is that great men are not always wise. Usually when you think of great men, Brother Andy, name some great men.
In the Bible?
Okay, no, not in the Bible. I want you to go in a different route.
Brother Terry?
Okay. Okay. Brother Terry, he said. Brother Terry. All right. Brother Terry said, amen. I don't know where we're going with this. That's not what I expected. All right. Let me start all over on this, okay? Great men are not always wise. I think that in our society today, there are men that the world thinks are great men. There are politicians that some people say, you know, this is just a great person, and they will give thousands and millions of dollars is being spent on our presidential election, and some people think this person is great, and this one is great, and this one is great, and every one of the people that's running for president, they all have a great following, a great number of people, large number of people that are following them, feeling like that's the answer to our nation. That's the one that can make a difference in America. This is the one that's going to save America. Brethren, there are a lot of politicians that think they're great, and a lot of people that think there are great politicians that don't understand great men. That is, men that the world thinks are great. What does Elihu say? Great men are not always wise. There are many people that the world looks up to and says, now, that's a great person. But they are not always wise people. There are many athletes that are great in the sight of people. There are many musicians that are great in the sight of people, and they'll drive miles and they'll do all kinds of things to go and see athletes and musicians and things like that. Well, they're great men, but did you know there are many great people as far as the world calling them great, that it could certainly be said great men are not always what? Wise. Great men are not always wise. Now, Brother Andy was very smart, and when I said, tell me about some great men, what was his first response? Do you mean from the Bible? All right, that's where I want to go now. From the Bible. Let's talk about great men in the Bible, and let's think about this the statement that Elihu made. Great men, I'm talking about truly great men. Men in the Bible that were great men, but the Bible says here, great men are not always wise. And I'm talking about men now that are godly men, men that are men of understanding and men of wisdom and men of power and men that were great men in the sight of God. Do you hear the statement I'm making right now? Great men in the sight of God is usually opposite of great men in the sight of the world. But there have been some great men. There have been some people that the Word of God says Now, this is a great man. There are people in the Word of God that are identified by the Word of God as being great men. But even those great men, among those great men, even among the men that God says are great men are not always wise. Who was the wisest man that ever lived other than Jesus Christ?
Solomon.
Was he a great man? Let's turn to the New Testament. Let's see what the Word of God, let's see what our Lord and Savior had to say about Solomon. Solomon was a great man. You can pick on him and throw stones at him all you might want to, but I'm telling you that the Word of God, Jesus Christ, talks about Solomon as being a great man. Matthew chapter 22. Look at, please, in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 42. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is speaking here, and he's going to refer to Solomon as being a great man, and the comparison is being made, the contrast is being made, that though Solomon was a great man, and if you ask any of the Jews, if you had been alive during the days of Jesus Christ, and if you had asked any of the Jews, was Solomon a great man, they all would have given him glowing accolades and says, now Solomon was certainly a great man, and he was a great man. I don't want to detract from that, but I want you to see great men are not always wise. In Matthew chapter 12, listen please to verse 42. The Word of God says, and this is Jesus Christ speaking. Matthew 12, 42. The Word of God is reflecting back here on Solomon. Jesus is going back and giving us some history about Solomon. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42, the Word of God says, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. What's the next word?
Greater.
And a greater than Solomon is here. Now, who is Jesus talking about when he says a greater than Solomon is here? Who is he talking about? He was talking about himself. My question is it not very apparent and clear that Jesus is saying Solomon was a great man when he says, now, there's somebody even greater than Solomon? Jesus is not going to say a greater than Judas is here. When he says and compares himself to someone else and says, now, someone greater than Solomon is here, he's talking about himself. And he's esteeming Solomon as being certainly a great and mighty man and a wise man. But Solomon was not a wise man all the time. He was a great man. He was a wise man. In the beginning, when God came to him and told him he could ask for anything he wanted, was Solomon a great man and a wise man when he first responded to God's question about giving him anything he wanted? Certainly Solomon was wise. And he asked for wisdom. He asked God for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom and says, because you have asked for wisdom, I'm also going to give you, and enumerated all kinds of things that he was going to give to Solomon because Solomon was so wise. And listen, brethren, Solomon was wise for a long time in his life. But he was not always wise. Do you follow that? The Word of God makes this statement in the book of Ezekiel. It says that when the righteous man forsaketh his righteousness, that all of his righteousness will not be remembered in the day that he forsaketh his righteousness. Do you understand what that's saying there? A person can live right. Solomon was a man that lived right. He was a wise man. He was a righteous man. I'm talking about the practical righteousness that comes from following God and serving God. And Solomon was a righteous man. He was a great man for a long period of time. But listen, brethren, you don't get a lot of brownie points and then say, now I can go away from God. You never get enough good built up in your life that it's all right for you to do something that's wrong. And Solomon did not understand that truth, and Solomon began to go away from God. I want you to back up in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 11. And I want you to see what happened to Solomon. Now, I want to remind you again in Matthew 12, verse 42. Did Jesus make it clear Solomon was a wise man? When he said, a greater than Solomon is here, he was declaring Solomon was a wise man. And for much of his life, he was a wise man. But in his old age, when he should have been even wiser, He began to go away from God. Listen, in 1 Kings chapter 11, what we're trying to look at tonight is that the Word of God declares very plainly that great men are not always wise. Somebody tell me, why do you think that it's important that we understand the truth that Elihu spoke to Job and his three friends? Why is it important for us to hear the words that Elihu said when he said, great men are not always wise? Why is it important for us to know that? Sister Teresa? Okay, number one, that would be a good reason, because we don't ever want to follow men blindly. That is, don't ever think that because someone is great, don't ever think that because some man is righteous, don't ever think that because a man has understanding that you just blindly follow him no matter what he does. That's a very important principle. What's another reason that we need to remember? Why is God telling us tonight that great men are not always wise? Okay, that's the main thought that was on my heart, is that just because you have wisdom tonight, just because you may be a great person in the sight of God tonight, you need to have it impressed on your mind, you may not always be there. You may not always love God. You may not always serve God. You may be one of the best servants of God today that has ever been. But unless you're continually on your knees and humble before God, what happens to great men when they forget the statement Elihu made when he says great men are not always wise? What happens to men when they forget that truth? They fall. They become fools, I think someone said. They become fools. And their lives are destroyed. And that's what happened to Solomon. Though he was a great man, he was not always wise. And in spite of all of his greatness, he became nothing in the end of his life. Nothing except bringing reproach on the cause of God. 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. The Word of God describes the end of Solomon's life. Now we can go back and look at the beginning of his life. We can look at the middle part of his life. Let me ask you this question. When those two women, you remember the two women that brought that one living child to Solomon? You remember that? And said, you know, one of us laid on our child during the night. They had two babies, and one of the women had laid on her child, and the baby had died. And they were arguing about whose baby it was that was still alive. And they carried that baby to Solomon and said, Solomon, you tell us, whose child is this? And what did Solomon say he'll do? I'll just take this baby and cut it in half, give half to one of you and half to the other one. Now, you and I know now that was an extremely smart thing to do, don't we? We know now, because we've been given that example in the Word of God, that's a wonderful thing to do, is just say, I'll cut the baby in half. But listen, brethren, that was not an easy thing to answer. If God had not given Solomon wisdom, he would not have known how to figure out whose baby that woman, which woman that baby really belonged to. But God gave him wisdom, and whenever he said, we'll just cut that baby in half, one of them said, that's fine. What did the other one say? No, give that baby to her. Why? Because the real mama's heart was tender toward that child, and she'd rather completely give up that child than to kill the child. Yeah. Now, do you see the wisdom of Solomon? And it wasn't just in that situation. You can go back and study the life of Solomon, and you'll find a wise man, tremendously wise, a great man, but a great man who was not always wise. Do you think Job's three friends were great men? Were they great men? Yes, they were. People are going, no. Yes, they were great men. I don't think you could find four better men on the earth at this time than Job and his three friends. I think they were the cream of the crop. I think they were just as good as men could get right then. And though they were great men, and though they loved God and they loved each other, they were not always wise. And that's what Elihu is saying, is I see great men who have been great in many ways in your life, and yet now I see that great men are not always wise. Now listen to Solomon, what the Word of God tells us about Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Do you hear what the Word of God is saying here? King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites and Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you. What did God command them? You're not to go into those women, and those women are not to come into you. You're not to be around those women. Did God have a reason that He said you're not to go around those women? How many of you had parents that refused to allow you to go around some people? How many of you had parents like that? They said, you will not go around those people. Why? Well, because they had enough wisdom to know. You and I, as children, we don't have enough sense to know what's best for us. And that's what God said to Solomon. He says, ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon, cleave unto these in love. What did Solomon start to do? He started loving those other women. The women that God said, you're not to go into them, he began to go into them. They came unto him, and he began to be a fool. Verse 3 says, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. You see what happened to Solomon? You see what happened to Samson? Name some things that prove. Name some temptations that often destroy great men and show that great men are not always wise. Name some things. If you look at Solomon, what was it? Solomon was what? Okay, the lust of the eyes, but say, I want to know the noun women. Women. Strange. Okay, women. We're just going to call them women right now. I know the Bible calls them strange. But you don't typically, when a woman's about to destroy your life, you don't recognize it as a strange woman. What does it look like? An angel. Like an angel. Women can destroy your life. Men can destroy your life. Is that true? Name some men in the Bible that women destroyed or brought great suffering into their lives. We're looking at Solomon. Who else?
David,
his daddy. David. Was David a great man? Was David a great man? The Bible says about David that that among all those that are born of women, there's not... I don't want to go to John the Baptist yet. I want to think about what the Bible says about David, that he departed. He departed not from anything God commanded him, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Now, was that a great man? That was a great man. But was that great man always wise? What's the lesson for us? Two things. One, what Sister Teresa said, don't always follow men blindly. Number two, I and you better fear. You might say, I'm not great, you're not great. All that may be true, but you're a child of God. And being a child of God makes you great in the sight of God. It makes you important in the sight of God. And as a child of God, you need to know how dangerous it is that you can be destroyed, and in spite of the fact that you might be a great child of God right now, living close to God, you need to know great men are not always wise, and your life and my life can be destroyed unless we stay close to God and stay close to each other. I had this thought during the day or during this past week in studying, thinking about Solomon. I had this thought. Do you suppose anybody... This is just a supposition because the Bible doesn't say, but do you think that there was anybody when Solomon began to go to those other women and the other women began to come to him, do you think there was anybody that might have gone to Solomon and said, Solomon, what you're doing is against the laws of God. Solomon, what you're doing is going to destroy your life. Do you think there was anybody that went to Solomon and said those things? Should there have been some people that went to Solomon? Should there have been other children of God that when Solomon began to go to that first one, the first time he began to make a mistake, should there have been somebody that loved him and loved God enough that they went to him and said, Solomon, what you're about to do is wrong and it's going to destroy your life. I think about the children of God that might have been around Solomon that didn't open their mouths, that saw Solomon going in the direction he was going and they never said a thing. You know what God's Word says about those individuals? God's Word says that though Solomon, it doesn't say about Solomon, it says, though that man will be destroyed, yet that man's blood is on our head. When we see people going astray and we don't do or say anything to try to convert them from the error of their way, if we keep our mouths shut, if you keep your mouth shut, if you see me going astray, or if I keep my mouth shut when I see you going astray, I want you to know my blood will be on your head and your blood will be on my head. It's a serious thing when you see people going astray. Think about Solomon. Think about how wonderful it would have been if, when he first began to go, if somebody had had enough love, and maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But somebody could have saved Solomon from destroying his life. Couldn't, isn't that true? They could have, by the grace of God. So these women turned away his heart. Verse 4 says, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods." Do you think Solomon ever thought his heart would ever go away from God? Do you think Solomon ever thought that was possible? Do you think when he started going to that first strange woman, do you think Solomon probably thought, "Now, I'm so close to God. I know that he said these women can lead me away from God, but I'm so close to God. I know God. I know that I won't ever let these women turn my heart away from God." Do you think that's possible that Solomon thought that? I think all of that's possible. I think that sometimes that's what we do. We think that we're strong enough, that even though God said, "You do this, you're going to be destroyed," we think, "Well, I'll do it, but I won't ever cross the line." Listen, brethren, it's a serious thing to begin to... It's a serious thing to begin to flirt with sin. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? It's a serious thing to begin to flirt with sin. It's a serious thing to begin to go and push the edge and go just... You think, "Well, I'm just going to go just so far, but I'll stop." I want you to know, if you have that thought and that idea, I want you to remember what God's Word says: great men are not always wise. Yeah. Because any great man, no matter how great they are, if they think they can go just so far and not cross the line, eventually they're going to prove they're not wise and they will be destroyed. Yeah. You know, it's hard sometimes to know exactly where to go in God's Word. I want to mention one thing, two things. I asked Teresa this afternoon, I said, if you were going to, and I told her what the text was going to be, is great men are not always wise. I want some of you to tell me, you know, it's amazing. Sometimes when y'all are coming out of church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, and y'all say, "You know, I thought you were going to go to this verse or this verse or this verse." And most of the time, they're verses I was going to go to, but I didn't get time to go to. But sometimes you come up with verses I think, "Oh, man, that would have been wonderful." Now, I want you to tell me one verse. Do all of you know what the point is of this lesson tonight? Great men are not always wise. And though what Sister Tressa said is part of it, the main thing that's on my heart is you and I better be careful. Here's what the Scripture says. I'm going to give you one verse, and I want you to give me one in closing. The Scripture says in Hebrews 3:12, "Take heed," listen carefully, "take heed, brethren." Take heed what? "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Can you and I depart from God, go away from God and be destroyed? Yes, we can. What would we better do? I think that's the most important verse I can think of, is "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Or, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Now, I want somebody in the congregation to tell me, what verse would you use to conclude this message? Brother Jerry? All right. "The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God." Amen. Amen. Wisdom is so important. Anyone else have a verse that comes to your mind that would be a good way to conclude this message tonight? Brother Philip? Who was that? Does anybody know who Brother Phillips just read about? Uzziah. Okay, Uzziah, King Uzziah. All right. Anybody else? Okay, please remember, it's a serious thing to begin to go toward evil. As great a man as Solomon was, as great a man as David was, as great as anybody you want to think of in the Word of God, the Apostle Paul, were those great men? I'm not the Apostle Paul, but the apostles, the 12 apostles, were those great men? Did they have a problem? Did they prove they weren't always wise? I want you to tell me one time you remember that the apostles proved they were not always wise. Great men are not always wise. What's one occasion that you know they were not wise?
They all forsook him and fled.
Okay, one is they all forsook him and fled. That proves they were not always wise. There's another one.
When they were arguing who was the greatest.
Okay, in Matthew 18, when they said, "Lord, which one of us is the greatest?" Were they wise right then? They were dumb. They were stupid. They were ignorant. They were doing wrong. They were not wise. Were they great men? They were as great a man as you could find at that time on the earth. They were not always wise. There's a great warning to every one of us. Be careful. Be careful. Your life can be destroyed if you don't look to God for the strength and grace and stay close to Him every day, is my prayer for Christ's sake.